Welcome to the Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Ross Goldzak, and he won our Level 1 Open this time around. If you're listening on iTunes, go over to the blog, adonisindex.com, and check out his pictures. Ross, you knocked it out of the park. Your pictures are awesome. Everything that's, you know, the physique you presented is basically what we're talking about, so good job.
Thank you.
What did you – I don't know where you want to start here. Let's I guess first, what did you think of your final look? I'm going to take this one a little differently. What did you think of your final look?
I was happy with it. Yeah, I was pleased with the photos. It was a bit of a stressful week. The last week was pretty intense, you know, just trying to organize everything to get the submission in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was happy with the look, and I feel like the photos sort of represented where I was at, so I was happy.
When you saw them, is it what you expected? Is it better? Like, have you ever done a photo shoot like that before?
Yeah, not. I've sort of done I did a, the week before, I did a practice shoot with my boss took the photos, a mate of mine, and we did a practice shoot the week before, and I'd seen the photos, and I'd seen sort of, I had an idea of how they'd turn out. And so when I saw the photos, I was really happy with them, but it wasn't really sort of unexpected. It was just a matter of filtering through hundreds of photos and trying to find one that was okay.
Mm-hmm. That's surprising, eh? Like, you could take a bunch of photos and actually end up with a bunch you just really don't like, and then then you get to one, you're like, oh, that's the one right there.
Yeah, and then there's just so many just terrible photos as well. You just, you know, like I heard you talking the other day something about a flash not going off or something, and well, yeah, if the flash went off in the wrong way and it just lit you up and it just looked absolutely terrible, and then you get photos that turn out good, so you just got to pick through them.
And until you see that happen, like, you know what? I should do that. I should post from our last photo shoot, I should post two in a row. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to post two in a row where the flash went off, or the wrong flash went off, and then the right flash. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like night and day, and it's a real good example of how, like, you can be the most in-shape person in the world, but if the lighting's wrong, and then you just, it's as if you're not even there.
Yeah, looks bad, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can completely wipe out any definition in anything. Like, you can just make the person look awful with bad lighting.
Yeah. Yeah. It
kind of goes both ways. Good lighting shows off what you have, but man, can you ever make it go away?
Yeah.
So, all right, well, then let's get to, let's familiarize people with you. You know, give us a little bit of your history as you, you know, your training history, and then how you found us.
I started training around 5 years ago, and some guys from work were going to the gym, so I just thought I'd start going to the gym with them. And I found in Men's Health, I found like a all body, you know, 3 day a week sort of a workout, and we sort of started out on that, and then enjoyed it and got the bug and got into the habit of it, and then sort of more or less got a little bit further into the bodybuilding type of thing, just an interest more than anything, just interested on how you can sort of gain more muscle and lose fat and things like that, and then got into the you know, saw the muscle magazines and the workouts they had in the muscle magazines, and we did that for a little while. And then when you're seeing those pictures all the time, you think, oh, you know, I've got so far to go. And so, you know, then you're sort of reading into that, oh, what do I have to do to get in that sort of shape?
Oh, like comparing yourselves to the magazines.
Yeah, which I now
know.
Oh,
yeah. And it's just full of bodybuilders. They're just
yeah. And I think that was a bit of a turning point when I realized, oh, hold on, I forgot to take steroids. And
yeah.
So
you're leaving one major ingredient out if you want to be as big as them.
Exactly. Yeah. So that sort of changed where my focus was, or where I sort of looked for information. And I think I had the best, when my growth was at its peak, I was doing Max OT.
Which one's that?
It's 4 to 6. It's basically 4 to 6 reps. It's 5 days a week, and it's just lifting as heavy as you can and sort of focusing on getting your 1RM up. Max OT, it's called. But yeah, and I think I don't really put it down to the the workout so much as the timing. So the timing in when I was sort of ready to give effort to the gym, and also, you know, I was in that early stage, so I think I did most of my gains on that program. Mm-hmm. And then, and they were sort of, they were selling the natural idea as well. And then I went to Lane Norton's FAT, which is Power Hypertrophy or Hypertrophy Adaptive Training. And again, you know, the whole, the natural thing. And somewhere along the lines there, I started Eat Stop Eat in December in 2010, and I got to that via the Lean Gains website link. Then I found, I started getting the blogs from you guys, and I remember the first blog that I, that really took me, you know, my attention was the, Shirt Off Big and Shirt On Big, which I think was Drew, was when he was announced and he had his podcast. Mm-hmm. And I sort of read that a bunch of times and went, yeah, hold on, which way am I heading here? Do I want to be, you know, 95 kilos or 200 and whatever pounds that is, or do I want to, and do I want to fill out a shirt, or do I want to be lean, and do I want to have the look that, you know, that you see? And I, and then that was sort of, then I sort of followed, you know, all the blogs and listened up to all the podcasts and what have you, and then, yeah, sort of, I held off on getting fully into the AI program and things because I got into a bad habit before that of just changing to whatever new style came along, a new workout or new diet, or, and I was just willing to try anything, and I was reading every little bit of information I could about it. And then I got to the stage where I realized that, hold on, I don't actually need any more information. I just need action. Mm-hmm. And, so I sort of put off really, you know, starting the AI workouts because I knew they were good. Like I knew and I trusted the information, and I sort of had a, you know, I sort of thought I was on the same wavelength as you guys. Mm-hmm. And but, yeah, it took me a while before I actually, you know, jumped into it. And then, yeah, so I started AI in at New Year's this year. So I've, you know, done 12 weeks or 14 weeks of it so mm-hmm. far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the contest, you just figured, what the hell, might as well just jump into that too, or was that the motivation all along?
Yeah, I think I got to the stage where I was happy with, you know, the gains that I'd made muscle-wise, and I was happy with getting lean, and sort of I was within, you know, what you guys call striking distance, and I was, and then you just think, well, what's next? You just go, well, do I want to be a bodybuilder? Do I want to get up on stage and, you know, do that thing? And I didn't. Well, I just haven't really, at this stage, got that motivation to do that. Mm-hmm. And last year, I took progress photos about September last year, and I put them onto the forums, and everyone was saying, oh, yeah, you know, make sure you go on the next competition. And I was sort of dodging it for a while. I didn't really want to because I was worried that of how it would affect me, whether it would make, you know, force me to put in too much effort and then I'd blow out after it and things like that.
That's an interesting concern. That's No, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I'd found it's – I'd tried really hard in the past and, you know, lost 3 or 4 kilos or whatever, and then it had bounced back, and I found it easier to try less, just, you know.
So yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah.
Is concerned, yeah. Yeah. And the last sort of 10 kilos came off, which was that 20 pounds,
yeah.
Came off over a year. And then, yeah, the last 2 kilos came off over probably another 6 months or so.
And that's kind of reverse taper style, right? Whether or not you knew where you were doing it, that's really what the whole point of that is.
Yeah. And
take it a lot slower towards the end, and that makes it sustainable if you can pull it off, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I did in the competition. I did Eat Stop Eat for the first half of the competition, and I didn't really lose any fat. I didn't lose my waist, didn't go down. It was basically a maintenance period in the beginning, mm-hmm. and it sort of, you know, it was trending downwards, but there was nothing really miraculous about it. Mm-hmm. And then about halfway through, I cut the fast back, and I wasn't fasting, and then I was still sort of chipping away, and I was still like losing that little bit on the waist, and losing a little bit of fat, and losing a little bit of weight, and that was without any fasts during the week, mm-hmm. and I thought that was cool like that, and I ended up for the third quarter of the competition with no fasts, and then the final 2 weeks I just had a couple just to get the last little bit off, and also to feel like I was actually trying a bit as well.
That way, if you're towards the end there, the point isn't to waste effort, right? If you don't have to, you don't have to. I mean, yeah. I mean, for some people, you just don't have to fast at all. It's like, I don't fast, so it's just like Pilon uses it. I don't necessarily. I mean, I don't do a specific 24-hour fast. I'll have chunks of time where I don't eat, but it's not calibrated anymore. So
yeah,
and towards the end, you don't need to.
Yeah, and if a year ago or a year and a half ago someone said you don't need to do anything special, you just need to eat less and you just need to find a habit where you eat just a normal amount of food and maybe a little bit less at some times and more at some times, and, you know, there's no real stress about dieting. If someone had told me that a year and a half ago, I would have laughed in their face, but it's not until you until I did a year of Eat Stop Eat and, you know, and just kept chipping away at it, that I
so over a year you've lost over 20 pounds then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
and prior to that, I'd lost heaps more. I think at my worst, well, heaviest, I was over 100 kilos.
Come on. How old?
Yeah. But I was. Yeah, pretty dark days.
Yeah, how old are you right now?
30.
You're 30, and you were over 100 kilos. When was that?
When I left school.
Oh, my God. Do you have a picture of that?
No, and I wish I do.
Do you have anything even – do you have any pictures of you even close to that? We got to get some. Yeah, I guess. Nobody wants to be in front of a camera like that, right?
Yeah, and I lost a heap on a hard drive as well. I lost a heap of photos, and that's one of my biggest regrets. And I put blog about it in the community and said my biggest regret is not having a photo of where I was, you know, a beginning photo. And that's one thing I'd encourage everyone to do is to, no matter whether you like it or you don't like it, take a photo today without a shirt on in the mirror, and just, you don't have to look at it. You just have to save it, but you have to do it.
And it's humbling. My before photo from years ago, it's just, I still hate it, even though it's not me. It's, well, not me anymore. It sucks, but it's so powerful to have that thing. You're right. You're 100% right. Do you think anybody in your family or friends has one kicking around?
Of me?
You know, you know what I mean? Like a picture, you just happen to be in a group picture or something?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah, probably.
Yeah, that would be useful, because if you could like kind of show that transformation and always remind yourself.
Yeah.
It's just because because someone will look at you now and be like, oh, he must have always looked like that.
No.
And they're not going to believe that you've changed, right? That's the thing. Like when you're changing, people are skeptical about it, or they always have their opinion on like how to do it. And then someone who meets you in the shape you're in now will probably just assume you've always been that way.
Yeah, they're just saying, I'm one of the lucky ones. And everyone says that, yeah, but, you know, they'll talk about what weight they are. And, you know, in the mornings I weigh 78 kilos around about at the moment when I wake up. And they'll think, oh, yeah, but you're just naturally skinny. And that sort of being that sort of weight looks good on you, but it wouldn't look good on me. And, you know, they might be 90-plus kilos. And they don't know that, you know, you just keep going and it looks good. You know, the less fat on you have, it looks good. It looks different for a while, and people when they see your face, you know, a little bit gaunt and things like that, while your body's adjusting to being lighter, you know, people think you look a bit different and they notice immediately, but once you're there and you're there for a couple of weeks, no one even cares about you anymore or cares about or notices you've changed.
Yeah, they stop commenting on it and they stop saying you look thin or and they're just like, yeah. Oh, that's just him. And then they're used to it, right? It's funny. People will comment on the way down as people lose weight, and no one will comment on the way up. Or at least they won't comment to you. They probably speak about you behind your back or under their breath, but never to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's such – and that happens to all of our contest winners. Everybody who loses weight, people are like, oh, you're getting too skinny and all this stuff, and it's all this negative sort of stop doing what you're doing. And it's because people are going off of your in-clothes look, right? So all they do is look at your face and your neck and think something's wrong. Even though underneath your shirt you look great and, you know, there's plenty of muscle and all that stuff. And then, but if you gain weight, like when you were up to 200 kilos, I bet you no one was saying, hey, Ross, you're
hey,
fat,
no,
stop.
100 kilos, not 200 kilos.
Sorry, 200, well, over 200 pounds. But it's not like anyone just comes up to you and says you're getting fat. Like it's socially taboo to say that, but people feel like it's okay to try to stop you when you're trying to get in shape. It's almost like you get push, like I said this to somebody else, you get pushback when you need support and you don't get pushback when you know what I mean? Like it's like they should point it out when you're heading the wrong direction and they don't. And then when you're heading in the right direction, they start pushing back. So it's like it's never – the support's never there when you need it.
Yeah.
The other so you thing said I you kept things was, covert. Talk about that. You know what I mean?
I realized that I sort of didn't get anything out of discussing it with anyone. Like it wasn't buying into the conversations and things which I'd done in the beginning because I was interested in it and I was reading information on it and it was sort of like on top of my mind all the time and I wanted to find more information about it and so, you know, anytime anyone was talking about losing weight and I've done this and I've done that, I was sort of all about it and I was, you know, wanted to talk about it. But then you sort of get to the stage where you realize it's, you know, your own plan that matters and sticking to the knowledge that you have, the little bit that you have, you just trust it, and then you let the progress do the talking, and then you realize that, you know, there's nothing really that anyone could say to you in a conversation that's gonna help you or hinder you. You sort of, you've got your plan set, and you just go about it, and all the commentary and things doesn't really matter too much.
And it's cheap.
Exactly, yeah, just. And it's also, I don't want it to be me. I don't want, you know, I don't want to be that person that, you know, if people want to make a conversation with me, that's what they bring up. I want them to talk about, you know, my family or my holidays or my work or, you know, I don't want to be that guy. Oh, yeah, if people are sort of, you know, Ross, he's,
the fitness
eats
guy.
Eats chicken and rot. He's the fitness man, yeah.
Oh, yeah, nobody wants to be that. Rice. Or at least, that's not what we're about. Like, that's like the last thing I want. Ironically, it's the last thing I want anyone to be like to learn from us. It's to, just like you said, you take it seriously when you need to in the gym, and then you leave, and then you don't talk about it.
Exactly. Yep.
Because talking about it is going to get you and the person you're talking to nowhere. Like, it's pointless.
Yeah, and you get confused, and you don't, even though they're sort of talking from a place, you know, they're not really, they haven't walked the walk, more or less. You sort of still pick up things in the conversation. You go, oh, and then you have little seeds of doubt that you plant in your mind, and you, maybe I should try this, or maybe I should try that. But realistically, you just got to stick with the plan and let the progress do the talking.
How much of a challenge was that then? Not wanting to stray, like you said, you didn't, like you were still. Like, I'm assuming when you just – you said before you – man, I'm going to get this sentence out sooner or later.
Yeah. Right.
You said before you jumped in on our systems, you were already listening to our stuff, but you were still kind of not sold on any one program, not even ours, and you were still experimenting. When you sort of decided to use ours plus the contest, were you like – did you make a mental decision? Okay, like for at least 12 weeks, I'm sticking to one thing here.
And, oh, no, no.
Were you still tempted during our contest to like...
No way.
You know,
no.
Another program.
Yeah, before I got... And that was why it took me so long. Like, I immediately, as soon as I read into AI, I immediately knew I wanted to do the workout. And I knew it was right, and I was cool with it. But I wanted to stick to what I was doing just because I didn't want to stray from what I was doing, because I'd been doing that for the last, you know, 3 or 4 months and it was working. And it might not have been optimal. It may have been optimal. Who knows? But it was getting the results and I was getting stronger. So, and that sort of put off the date that I started on AI. And then now that I've started on it, yeah, I won't change. I don't even look at any other workouts. I'm just trying to figure out what to do next. Like, what, once I finish the power phase, what I should go on to. So yeah, I'll definitely, I feel locked in now, like I don't stray at all. But, you know, maybe a year ago, although I've always with the workouts been pretty, I've stuck to it, whatever it is. It's more the diets that I've sort of tried whatever come along and had different levels of success. But the workouts have always been fairly consistent and I've stuck to them and didn't get really sidetracked. So I was mainly, any discussion when people were talking about food, that's where I was sort of I wasn't buying into those conversations because I just knew it had sidetracked me straight away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so far everything seems like it's working pretty good. I wouldn't change a whole lot. What's your focus now? Like, just continue building muscle but stay lean? Like, what do you want to focus on?
Yeah, at the moment I'm sort of like in a bit of a consolidation sort of phase where I just want to be relaxed about it and hold my waist where it is and hold my weight where it is and keep going with the rest of the power module. And then I want to do a muscle index and just get a line in the sand of where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. compare that to where I was. I did a sort of mock one just before Christmas last year. And
well, what do you mean mock? Did you do it or not?
I calculated the 1RMs based out of the numbers that I was doing in the gym at the time. I didn't actually put time aside to specifically.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, testing. You know, that's good enough. That's good enough. I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, that counts.
Mm.
Yeah. So, what'd you come up with? Do you remember your number? And I'm definitely interested in your number this time around.
Yeah.
Actually, for everybody listening, hold that thought. For everybody listening, anybody who wants to do their muscle index, by all means, I'd love it if you would send me your numbers because we're trying to compile a database of muscle. Everyone wants to know. Did you post that in the forum? Somebody posted, like, let's get a database of muscle indexes because it's an arbitrary number, right? It's unitless.
Yeah.
So it's just a number. It's kind of like pH. It's just, you know, 14 or 1. Like, so the muscle index is just a number. And then until we attach a picture to the number, the number doesn't mean anything. So I posted mine a while ago. I'll post it again. And then that would be great if you post yours with a picture. Well, I mean, they'll essentially be the pictures you just posted, right, with the contest. So this is a call for everyone to get muscle index numbers in with a picture, especially contest winners, because kind of people are interested to know what that look, what every contest winner's look is via muscle index, because we're building out a little muscle index calculator at some point, which will be kind of neat. And then we want people to know what, like, oh, a 35 looks like that. And so that's what they should be shooting for, sort of thing.
That's actually, I just found the blog post that I did. It was on January 24, and it was 35.16.
Oh, so yeah, I think I was 34-ish or something like that when I did mine. And I know Mark Levy did his, and he was 30-something. So yeah. It sounds like a pretty good muscle. I'm going to say that that's good. I mean, obviously, so somewhere above 30 is probably, I think, where it'll be. I'd imagine 40 is pretty high. But anyways, so we can, I mean, for anybody who wants to do it, please send me your results. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So, and you too, Ross, when you get yours done, definitely send them to me. That would be cool.
Will do, yep.
Yep. Okay, so that's the goal. So just continue building muscle and hold steady.
I think at some point, you know, maybe in 2 weeks or 3 weeks away, I'll, you know, refocus and sort of get a goal happening, and which will be something to do with strength and something to do with muscle gains and something to do with waist and fat and things like that. But At the moment, I'm just in sort of relaxed mode, and then when the mood strikes, I'll do a bit more planning, probably in about 3 weeks' time. But yeah, it'll definitely be just continue to keep gaining muscle and trying to keep lean.
Yeah, and that's the goal. No bulking. I know a lot of guys have the permission to be light issue, and like you said, you touched on it earlier, that moment where you're like, do I want to be shirt on big, or like it sounds like you kind of recognize you have a choice to make, and maybe those magazines are leading you down the wrong path.
I got totally led down. I found one which said in 12 weeks gain 10 kilos, and I'm like, all right, that's the go. So I'll go into a bulking phase. That's what I'll do. And I went from, at the time, I was 85 kilos, whatever that is in pounds. And so I thought, I've got to get to 95 kilos. And I ate stupid amounts of food, absolutely ridiculous amounts of food, and trained as hard as I could. And I fell short of it. I didn't actually put the whole 10 kilos on because I was just getting to a stage where I was like...
Wait, how tall are you?
Just 6 foot, okay. 184 centimeters. So, yeah, just over 6 foot.
Yeah. Okay. And so you were around 185 pounds when you started this, and did you? How much did you gain?
Yeah, I got to about 92.2. So that's just over the 200 pounds. But then I thought, okay, well that's close enough. I'm not going to go to the full 95 kilos. What's 95? 210, that is basically. And
What'd you look like?
Crap. Yeah, no, I looked terrible. And that's why I didn't really make it, because I was just getting fat. And, you know, maybe I might have been getting stronger, and maybe I was getting bigger, and I was filling shirts out and things like that over that 12-week period. But it was taking me back to a place that I'd been that I didn't want to really be. I was just like a more muscular version of the fat dude I was. And then I decided, okay, well, so the next part of this is, so now that I've gained all this muscle and I've gained all this weight, now I go into a cutting phase, and the same magazine had, you know, where you cut, you know, you eat such and such of foods and you cut back, and I only ever cut back to my original, where I started at, and which was 85 kilos, and right. Nothing happened, you know, there was no muscle gain, there was no strength gain, or aside from what is normal from doing 6 months of training.
All you did was go through the misery of putting on that fat and taking it back off for no discernible reason.
Yeah, so stupidity, I don't, but...
That's not stupidity. I mean, give yourself a break. I mean, most people don't know that doesn't work, right?
I mean, maybe,
you know, you went through your own personal experiment to prove it, that all you did was end up right back where you started.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember, like, Pilon did, I don't know if people know, like, through the podcast I'm sure we've talked about this, where Pilon had a bod pod. He actually had access to, in a previous company he worked at, he had access to, he had his own, you know, body composition testing lab, and he tested a bunch of people, and a lot of guys went on bulking cycles, and all they did was put on fat, and like he validated this with like a bod pod, it's a precise piece of equipment. It's not like it's not just calipers. It's like once you come out of that thing, that's what your body composition is. And he's like, man, and he would call me afterwards. He's like, I can't believe this, that all that guy did was put on 20 pounds of fat. And then by the end of his cut, all he did was take the same 20 pounds right back off. And 12 weeks later, he did nothing. Like all he did was go through all that misery for nothing. It's exactly what you went through.
And maybe it works if you're 16 years old. Maybe you'll gain, if you on
maybe
20 pounds
young,
and then you take 20 and you take 15 off, then that might be 5 pounds of muscle. But it wasn't for me. I'd sort of had those early gains, they're already behind me, so I was trying something new, and you know, all I did was put the fat on and take it off again.
Yeah, I think you might have a point there. I think when you're really young, like in the teens, I'm not even sure that it holds much past 20, but if you start training like 16, 17, 18 years old, I remember eating just volumes of food, and it didn't affect my fat mass, so maybe it was going into... At least maybe if there's a little bit of accelerated growth that you can stimulate because you've got sort of juvenile muscle growth on your side. But, I mean, if you're past 24, 25, that's you can kiss that goodbye. There's no eating your way up anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, well, what's your advice you give to other guys who've got a bit, they've been training, kind of what you've been through, like still consuming fitness information and like looking to make a change?
I would, so far as the information's concerned, that's the first diet you go on and find everyone in the right context has got the right information. So it's all correct in its own little way. Everyone's correct. And so you got to find where you want your information to come from and then block everything else out, in my opinion. And that's what I've done with you guys and with Pilon. And so that's the first diet, and then just have a period where you can clear your head and just sort of make a plan based on that information and test it. And then you just do your own testing. You get an idea of what you should do based on the information you got, and then you make a plan and you just do it. And if it works, then you just keep doing it. And then if it doesn't work, you just tweak it, and you don't sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater and start again and go and find another website. You just keep tweaking it as you're going and keeping the things that work, get rid of the things that don't work. And I think also though, you have to understand even the context that you guys are talking in. When you've mentioned before about fat loss is a marathon, and no, muscle gain is a marathon, and
fat loss is a sprint.
Yeah, and I heard that and I thought, yeah, that sort of makes sense, but that didn't really, like, so I thought maybe I should really aggressively try and get rid of the last little bit of fat and to get to this a leaner level, to get to the look that I wanted to get to. And then I realized that may not have been appropriate to me. That might have been appropriate for someone who had 20 pounds of fat to lose. Maybe they should get in and focus and do a fat loss sprint. Whereas for me to get it off and keep it off, it took me a year, or it takes time. So
maybe we should revise that based on you. That's a really good point you bring up, and yep, we need to be corrected on that. It's a sprint when there's more to get rid of, so to speak, and then towards the end, with all the evidence we're getting from reverse taper, it does slow down at the end to make it sustainable. So it's a sprint moving towards a walk and then to a crawl, really.
Yeah.
Because at the end, it just has to slow down to be sustainable.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And okay, well then that's good. And then I guess the community was useful too.
Yeah, very much. It was good. It was because I chose to sort of not talk about it generally, not even really to my wife. You know, I didn't talk about fat loss or food this or muscle gain that or workout this or any of that. I didn't really even talk to my wife about it. And so it was good to just, because that, again, that comes down to the context thing. That takes away, everyone's sort of on the same page there. You don't have to retell your story. You don't have to resupply all the information as you see it in your head to these people. They're already all on the same page as you, so you can sort of just more or less be yourself and just write, you know, the way you're seeing it on that day, and sort of everyone sort of understands and everyone sort of knows where you're at. And but I found it handy as well. I posted my measurements every Saturday morning, and it's good to just look back over them and just make sure that things are heading in the direction you intend them to. Sometimes, you know, you're deliberately on a relaxed sort of period and they're going up, and that's what the measurements show. And sometimes you're being more strict and you're trending downwards, and that's what the measurements week after week show. And it's good to sort of log all that information in the one place and not just have it swimming around in my head.
Mm-hmm. And something's different about logging it where other people can see it, isn't it, versus just logging it on your computer. I don't know what it is, but it's something better about that, more accountable or something. Makes it more real when you know someone else is looking at it too.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't really want people to comment on it. You don't want advice or anything. You just want to let the information out, but it's good to just put it out there, and it's good to hear other people's opinions and things like that. And sometimes you'll grab a little gem, you know, someone has a different perspective on things you say, and so I think it's well worth getting involved with, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. Do you have anything else?
No, thank you. That was great.
All right. Yeah, that was good. So, well, congratulations on the win. So for Ross Goldsack, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Adonis Index podcast.